Parshas Vayikra. Vayikra, Parshas Vayikra has a special meaning for many people because, like myself included, it was the first parsha, the first chumash and the first parsha that we learned. At the age of 4 or 5, I had my first chumash suda in Pardes House school almost 40 years ago. And there is a precedent and there is a makor for this. The Medrash says, it's a Medrash Tanchuma, actually next week's parasha, and it says the first chumash that children should learn is indeed Seder Vayikra. That's what the Medrash says. Why? Because karbonis, by their very nature, have to be tahir, have to be pure. They're brought in the Beis Hamikdash, which is of course the epitome of purity. If there's any impurity, then immediately everything is rendered pasul. Children, einam yoidim, they do not know mahu ta'am chait. They haven't even tasted avera, never mind committed an avera. They haven't even tasted avera, they're pure. A child is pure. So the Medrash says very beautifully, lafichach, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, sheyu maschilin tchila. They should begin their journey in Torah b'seder hakarbonis. Why? Yavoyu tahoirim. Let the pure ones, the children, come v'yisasku, and let them discuss and learn v'maisa tahoirim, the acts of purity, namely the karbonis. So the Medrash is telling us quite clearly that this is not just a cute or sweet thing to do, but there is a very beautiful reason behind it, that the children who have never tasted chait, they should be the ones, after all, they're the purest of all, and it's only appropriate, therefore, that they should learn the parashas of the Korbanos, whose holy side is, of course, Kedusha and Tahara. Which is an amazing thing when you think about it. If a child would begin learning parashas Bereishis, so before long, you'd end up in Shemois, and before long, you'd end up in Vayikra. So it wouldn't be that long anyway, before he gets there. And yet we say, no, that has to be the first thing. Once he begins Bereishis and begins Shemois and gets a little bit older, he's already perhaps lost that total and complete purity that he had from the outset. We want him to begin right from the start, from the Kedusha of Tahara. And this is actually quoted, La Halacha. If you look in Yerideya, Siman Reish Mem Hei, which is Halachas of Talmud Torah, the Shach there quotes this Medrash, and he quotes also a Rekeach. A Rekeach is one of the Gedolei HaRishonim. You might have noticed in this country it's quite a common minhag that when they bring a child, a boy, to cheder for the very first time, they bring him wrapped up in a talis. And the Shach actually quotes the Rekeach, who is the makor of this halacha. And he says also for the same reason, because when a child is now going to learn for the very first time in his life, we don't want him to be exposed to anything which is not the Kedusha and not the Tahara. If you wrap him up completely in a beged, or even more special in a talis, such that his first entrance into learning Torah is indeed b'tahara. Therefore, so too the child should learn, not only having come from a background of tahara, but also he should learn those inyonim that pertain to tahara. In other words, the korbanos. Now, it's very interesting. I saw just this afternoon a shemishmuel. The shemishmuel is in Parshas Miketz. And the Shemi Shmuel, interestingly, quotes the following. He says, my grandfather, who was the Kotzker Rebbe, the Shemi Shmuel, he was a son of the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer was a son-in-law of the Kotzker Rebbe. So it was literally a deiris of a majestic shalsheles. He quotes his grandfather and he says as follows. If you learn Seder Kodshim, meaning the mesechtos that pertain to korbanos, that is metaher one's machshavos. Metaher one's machshavos. Here we have a segula from the Kotzker Rebbe. If somebody finds that he's having trouble in having machshavos tahiros, the Kotzker Rebbe tells us that you should learn say the kodshim, and that will act as a metaher. That's what he quotes in the name of the Kotzker Rebbe. Problem is, he says, I also once heard from the Gera Rebbe, going a little bit Hasidish tonight, quoted in the name of the Gera Rebbe, who seemed to say the exact opposite. And he says, in order to learn Seder Kodshim, one has to have Machshavos Tahiros. So, what's the chicken and what's the egg? On the one hand, he's being told that Kodshim, learning Kodshim, will indeed foster Machshavos Tahiros. But then he's also hearing from the Gera Rebbe that no, you have to have Machshavos Tahiros in order to start learning Kodshim. So, what's the chicken and what's the egg? So he says that my father, the Avnei Nezer, made shalom between the two, and he said there's no contradiction. V'hu hechria b'neihem. He was able to machria and explain to us that there's no stira at all. And he says, the more one learns Seder Kodshim b'kedusha u'b'tahara, the more Seder Kodshim will help him develop further and further a mindset of Tahara. So what is the chicken, what is the egg? It's both. You have to surely come into learning Seder Kodshim b'Tahara, which is why the children are learning it, but it in turn will further develop that koyach of Tahara in a person. So he says, therefore, he concludes, he says, having said that, I now understand, therefore, it's so appropriate, says the Shem Yishmur, that it's the children who are learning Kodshim. Because indeed, that is the Shalom Aleichem. That is the Shalom Aleichem to learning the parashas of Korbanos and Kodshim. The Shalom Aleichem, the Hakdome, is Machshavos Tahiros, pure thoughts. And of course, there's none who have purer thoughts than a child who's ever tasted chet. That's what he says. Interestingly enough, he says, so therefore, what will happen? The child with no background of sin or tumah or aveira in any way has the perfect mindset to learn kodshim. But then what will kodshim do to him? It'll further consolidate his tahara. So it's a win-win situation. That's what he says. So he writes in the last line, fascinating thing. He says, when I was a young child, my father used to learn with me the halachos of Toiras Koyanim. Toiras Koyanim is the Vayikra. Parashas, the Chumash Vayikra. That's what my father used to learn. More, he says, than any other chelik of Torah. My father taught me the halachos of Korbanos. Even though I was very young, he writes, Shelo yocholti lahovin. I didn't really understand always what my father was saying. And he says, ulai, perhaps that was the reason why my father concentrated on that area. I didn't really understand perhaps what he was teaching me. But perhaps the reason why my father was nonetheless so keen to teach me that chelek of Torah, because that's the perfect shmira for a child who's coming in tahor and will come out even more tahor. That's what the Shem Yishmor writes. Me'inyan le'inyan, I saw also this afternoon a wonderful pshat in a Mishnah in Ovis, which very much ties in to what we're learning this evening. The Mishnah in Ovis says as follows, Elisha ben Avuya Oime. Now, as soon as you read those words, you sit up in your chair. Elisha ben Avuya, it says Elisha ben Avuya went off the derech, as we'll see in a moment. And yet the Mishnah quotes him. You would have thought that having gone off the derech, that Mishnah should be erased. Sorry, persona non grata. No, it stays in the Mishnah. What did he say? Haloimed yeled. If somebody teaches a child, lemahu doime. What is that comparable to? So he says, ledioi ink kasuva al mayar chodosh. Writing on a brand new clean piece of paper. That's what he says. Now, one of the Rishonim, fascinatingly, the Tashbetz, has a pirish on Ovis. And he says, essentially, obviously, this Mishnah was clearly written before Elisha ben Avriah went off the derech. Otherwise, it obviously wouldn't have come in. But it was included in the Mishnayos, and once it got included, it remained there, even though Elisha ben Avriah strayed off the path. That's what he says. So I saw this afternoon the most fascinating and wonderful pshat in the name of Rav Nosson Geshtetner. Nosson Geshtetner, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, was a phenomenal Talmud Chacham, passed away, lived in Bnei Brak only a few years ago. Prolific writer, hundreds of stories, I believe, tshuvas and chidushim and agodas and drashas. So I saw just this afternoon a wonderful pshat in this Mishnah. Elisha ben Avriah, as mentioned, went off the derech. It says that on one occasion he was riding his horse on Shabbos, and he was clearly told that this is also to do on Shabbos, and he was told, he said, it doesn't matter. I've already heard there was a bas koel that says everybody can do tshuva except for me'acher. They didn't want to even refer to him by name. They just called him Acher. Acher means the other one. He said, I've already heard a bas koel that says, I'm beyond tshuva, in which case, I might as well carry a riding on my horse on Shabbos. That's the Gemara. How did this happen to him? How did he go off the derech? Great holy Tana. So Tosfos there quotes the story. Tosfos says, I'll tell you the story. The story is in fact recorded for posterity in the Yerushalmi. The story is that Elisha ben Avriah's father, namely Avriah, was one of the Gedolei Yerushalayim. Undoubtedly a Gedolei Yerushalayim. That's the way it's described. This Avriah has a young son, a baby. 8 days later, it comes to the bris, and he names his child Elisha. Elisha ben Avriah, it's the day of the bris. Because he was one of the Gedolei Yerushalayim, you can imagine that the guest list was a pretty impressive one. It was a who's who of all the Ziknei Yerushalayim. So it says there was Rabbi Lozo and Rabbi Yeshua, the greatest Tanoim, they were all there in attendance at this bris Sudah. There were other guests who were eating and drinking, and meanwhile these Tanoim said, whilst they're eating and drinking, we're going to learn. Came to the bris Sudah and they were sitting there and learning. It says they got so involved in learning that an Eish, a fire descending from heaven, and encircled them completely, the Eish of Torah. Avriah comes along and says, what's going on? You're burning my house down. I invited you for a bris Sudah, not to ruin my house. What's happening over here? So he said to him, no, Chas v'Shalom, we are learning Divrei Torah, Menavim, Menaksuvim, etc., etc. And Torah itself was given amidst fire. This is the Torah, this is the fire that the Torah was initially given in. This is not a physical fire. It's not going to burn your house. So Avriah was so taken by it. And he says, wow. Hoil v'kach koicha shel Torah. Seeing as this is the great koach of Torah, he says, if my child will survive, ani mafrishoy. What does it mean, ani mafrishoy? I would ensure that his life is dedicated to Torah. So Tosfos says a phenomenal thing, all in the name of Yerushalmi. Ulafi sheloi hoiso kavonosoi l'shem shomayim. His kavonos weren't entirely pure. Lefichoch loy niskayim uboy. That's why his child Elisha went off the derech. A phenomenal thing. All he did was say that he wants his child to learn Torah. But his kavonos were seen not to be essentially and entirely pure. He wanted his child to learn Torah, but not for the right reasons, and therefore his child went off the derech. Now, 1 second. We're talking about a child who hasn't committed any aveira at all on his own part. It's his father's misdemeanor, if at all, and what was the great aveira anyway? That he wasn't quite mechavan Hashem Shamayim when he said he wants to dedicate his son's life to Torah. So Nosson Geshtetner says, you see from over here how important it is, how critical it is, that when Torah is taught to a child, has to be taught amidst the utmost purity, kedusha, tahara, l'shem shamayim. And if there's any semblance of shaloi l'shem shamayim, that has catastrophic consequences further down the line. That's what I'm learning from this story. So he says, now let's come back to the Mishnah. The very Mishnah that Elisha ben Avuya himself authored, what did he say? That when you teach a child, you know what that's like, writing on brand new paper. What's the difference between writing on new paper and old paper? When you write on old paper, which has been written on and smudged and creased and erased, then basically any further dirt or mess doesn't really show up, because it just gets absorbed with all the other stains. But if you have brand new, white, crisp paper, then every little dot shows up. Every smudge, however small, it will be noticeable, because it's a plain, snow-white sheet of paper. That's what Elisha ben Avuya was teaching. So the Shtetna says, that's why the Mishnah was kept in Ovis. Because he was a living embodiment of exactly what he taught. He says, look what happened to me. When you teach a child is pure. For good and for bad. He's like clean white paper. The beauty of clean white paper is you can produce a magnificent picture on it. But the danger is, if it's smudged, it will be noticeable, because it's a clean paper. And that's what Elisha ben Avuya taught. In other words, look what happened to me. So when he went off the derech, the Tanoim decided, we're going to keep this Mishnah in nonetheless. Because if you want to know why indeed Elisha ben Avuya strayed, why did he leave the fold, it's precisely because of his very own teaching. Because teaching a child is like a clean white paper, every stain will show up. Ah, that's exactly what happened to Elisha himself. Right from the outset, as a young baby, an 8-day-old baby, there was a little stain. But that creeped in and had become inculcated in his whole being until he left the path completely. And this, of course, I think reminds us of the famous statement in the Gemara, which we've mentioned in the past. The Gemara says, in Bava Metzia, that Rav Chiya said, I can ensure that Torah will not be forgotten. That's what he said. In other words, he was clearly talking in an era where there seemed to be an ignorance in Torah, and there existed a real danger and threat that Torah would be wiped out. He says, I can ensure that Torah will not be wiped out. It will not be forgotten. How would I do it? If I would have been Rav Chiya, I would say, I'd give big shiurim and big seminars and disseminate Torah to millions of people, and that's not what he said. What did he say? He says, what would I do? I would go to the field and I would plant some flax. It would grow, and eventually I'd have enough to produce a net. I would take the net and I would use the net to hunt deer. I would take the deer, skin it, and use it to make parchment. On that parchment, I would write Chamisha Chumshei Torah. I would then find 5 children to teach them each one Chumish, Bereishis Shmos Vayikra Bamidbar Dvarim. And each of those 5 children would in turn teach the others the Chumash that he's learned, and that way Torah will be ensured and it will remain with us forever. That's what the Gemara says. The question being, why is it necessary to go through the whole process of the flax and the deer, and even if it is, why is it a relevant part of the story? The main thing is that he's going to teach Talmidim Torah, and he's going to do it in a very clever way. He's going to teach a number of Talmidim so they'll all be able to teach each other. Isn't that the bottom line of the story? So the Mefarshim point out, Briskerov quotes in the name of Vilna Goin, if there exists a threat that Torah is going to be wiped out, and you need to re-begin Limud Torah, then right from the beginning, right from the outset, has to be done the Kedusha of the Tahara. No, says Rav Chiya, I'm not walking into my local parchment store and just buying any old piece of parchment. I don't know where it came from. I don't know what the intentions were, what the machshavos and the kavanos of those who produced this parchment. Or at least of those who planted the nets with which this deer was hunted to skin it in the first place. If I want Torah to be ensured that it should remain with us forever, I will start the process right from the beginning. The Kedusha of Tara. I will be the one to plant the flax, the Shem Shamayim, and to make the net, the Shem Shamayim, and to hunt the deer, and to skin it, and to write it, etc., etc. Such that the whole process, from beginning until the end, is done the Kedusha of Tahara. That way, Torah can remain with us forever. That's the way the Mefarshim explained this story with Reb Chiya. The Vilna Goyim, we're in Beis Knesset Hagro. This was the big week in Mishpachas, in Beis Knesset Hagro, where the Kehillah moved forward, Beis Hashem, a huge step towards the Beis HaKnesses. The Vilna Goyim himself said an incredible thing. An incredible thing. Avtocha, a promise from the Vilna Goyim. A Beis Knesset, which is built Lishmo, what does that mean, Lishmo? That there is no other ulterior motive for building this shul other than to Makadosh Shem Shamayim, then nobody in this shul will ever daven with the wrong types of thoughts in his head. A promise from the Vilna Goyim. Meaning, if the Beis HaKnesses was founded and constructed and built B'Kedusha, L'Shem Shamayim, then that will necessarily impact everything that happens within the walls of that shul. One's davening will be different. One's learning will be different. The flip side of the coin is, the great Talmud of the Vilna Goyim, of course, was Chaim Volozhin, said that if ever you learn from Sforim that were printed by people who are of unsavory character, that person will not be matzliach in his limud Torah. It's the same yisoid that's repeating himself again and again and again. If there's kedusha and there's tahara right from the outset, then that will produce positive results. Because if there isn't, then there'll be negative results, as we see in the case of Elisha ben Avuya. There was an amazing story. Every so often we hear the creepy, scary, mystical story of the Dibuk. How do you translate Dibuk in English?
Devil,
demon, spirit. I don't know, I've never met one, so I'm not sure what the translation is. A Dibuk is a Dibuk. We know that in our day and age, we don't have these things. But in the name, in the time of the Divrei Malkiel, this is a story that the Chazon Ish himself related. One of the great goyim in Europe, the Divrei Malkiel, he lived about 100 years ago or so. At that time, there was a dibuk that was wreaking havoc in the community. And they didn't know what to do. So they decided, upon instruction, that what they're going to do is they're going to take a sefer of the Zoya. Zoya, HaKadosh, Kedusha, Tahara, most mystical aspects of the Torah, and they will bring this Sefer Zohar in front of the Dibuk, and that will subdue him. That was the plan. Problem is, not only did the plan not work, it seemed to backfire. That's the way the Chazon Ish relates the story. He says they brought the Zohar to this Dibuk, and to the contrary, the Dibuk became even more and more wild. Became even more and more wild. So they approach the Divrei Malkiel and says, what's happening? Why is this not producing the goods? Why is the Zoya not calming the Dibuk down? It seems to be doing the opposite. Upon inquiry, it turned out that this Sefer Zoya was printed by people who were not Shem Ritayra or Mitzvahs. And so the Divrei Malkiel, that's why. For all the Kedusha within the Sefer, but if it wasn't printed the Kedusha of a Tahara, then its whole Koyach is necessarily weakened. So this is really what we're being taught. This is why children learn the Parshas of Karbonis, because they are the ones who come into learning the Kedusha of a Tahara. That's why they're covered with the Talis, and to the contrary, Kochim will develop and foster and further consolidate in them this Kedusha. Elisha ben Avuya was the other way around. That's why he went off the derech. Reb Chiya wanted to save Torah, I'm going to plant those nets right from the outset, the Kedusha B'Tahara. That is really the Yisrael that we're being taught today. Just in very brief conclusion, how can we not say one or two words about Purim next Thursday night? I'm not sure if it'll be possible or even permissible to say a Shia. So, just a very brief thought about Purim, and I want to share with you a phenomenal thing that happened this week. Chazal tell us, the Gemara and Megillah and other places, that the whole Purim story all began because Klal Yisrael were not strong enough in Torah. So to the original Amalek, says that when Rafidim, Rafu Yudeim, they were weak in Torah, and what happens? Amalek pounces. So I saw also just this afternoon, there is a phenomenal sefer, Yemei HaPurim, written by Rav David Cohen, the Rosh Shiva of Hebron, lives in Yerushalayim, Eretz Kodesh. He quotes there in the name of the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, primarily Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chava, who and Rav Kornfeld quotes frequently. It's a very, very lengthy discussion. I just want to literally quote the bottom line. Klal Yisrael's existence is essentially supernatural. That's his yisoid. The reason why it's supernatural and the proof that it's supernatural is because we come from Avram Avinu. Avram and Sarah, al pi teva, were unable to have children. The fact that Klal Yisrael was born in the first place is supernatural. That's always been the story of our existence right from the outset. So how indeed do we exist? Lemalo miderech hateva, because ki chelek Hashem amoy. We are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nation, and we are zeicha to a supernatural hashkocha that keeps us alive, that it allows us to exist. But that's always been our story, literally from day one, ad va'ad v'chlal. So we have this supernatural existence, and we're zeicha to this hashkocha. But he explains there, and of course he brings proofs for every part of this. When there is golos, such as what we're in now, there's hesed upon him. Kadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol covers his face. We don't see our Kadosh Baruch Hu clearly. So what's our ticket? How indeed are we then zeicha to this supernatural hashkocha? When we live in a day and age of gilui, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right there to be seen, kaviyachol, then maybe it's less of a question. But in the Zman of Golos, when there's Hesed upon him, what's our ticket? And the answer is Torah HaKadosha. The more one attaches oneself to Torah, the more one is zeicha to this very special Hashkocha. In which case we understand that it's a double-edged sword. How did the whole Purim story begin? Chazal tell us because they were misatzel. They were lazy, they slackened in learning. And how at the end of the day were they victorious? How were they zeicha to the Nisim? What does the Gemara famously tell us? Kimu v'kiblu. Klal Yisrael will mekabel Torah afresh once again. When? On Purim. Ah, you mekabel Torah. Remember, when did the Purim story occur? In between the two Bate Mikdosh. It's a Zman of Hester. That's the whole Yisrael of Purim, all about Esther. Megillas Esther, to be Megale, that Hester came about through Torah. Once you attach yourself to Torah, then you're automatically living a supernatural existence, because Torah by very nature is supernatural. It's the book that's written, kaviyachol ba'akadosh baruch hu, b'chvodo u'ba'atzmoy. That is his yesod. As I said, it's many, many, many pages, but that's his yesod, and that's why many, many places it's become more and more popular, Baruch Hashem, the concentration, the study of Limud Torah on Purim. The notion of having a Purim night kollel is almost universally accepted now. You come to the Gro on Leil Purim, you'll see 150, 200 people here learning. In every shul, Baruch Hashem, in the day and age that we are in, it's becoming more and more accepted, more understood, but this is really one of the yesodos of Purim. The more one attaches oneself to Torah, the more one is zeicha to Nisim. That's the way it goes. four people in the space of 1 week. In 1 week, four people in 1 week told me almost the same thing. Four separate stories, and really it's one story. And Mitz Hashem, after this shir, I have an engagement to go to in Bet Shemesh. The engagement is one of the members of our kehillah, who we introduced some of the members in the morning. And he himself approached me about a couple of months ago, and he says to me, I'm just in between jobs, I've lost my job, I'm looking for something new. He's a member of our kehillah. He said, can I join the Beis HaMedrash, the kehillah, in the morning? He asked permission. You are greatest covered. Come and learn, enjoy the atmosphere. So he sits and he learns there every morning. A week or two ago, his daughter came engaged, his first child. I went to the L'chaim in the house. As I left the house, he says to me, I want to speak to you. Closed the front door, we went outside, and he says, I just want to tell you, he says to me, since I joined the morning seder here, I'm learning obviously more than I was able to do so, my family have been zeicha to many yeshuas. And he says, this is one of them. He didn't detail anything. In addition to that, that's what he told me. 3 days later, on Sunday morning, went to Beit Matzah's. One of our members of our kehillah came with, and he says to me, he says, my job is such that I don't really have fixed income. He does, he's an electrician or a plumber, so if he gets work, he gets work. If not, then not. So, not a steady income. And he says, Baruch Hashem, normally I've been doing quite well. There's been a constant stream of clients. He says, about 2 or 3 months ago, things seemed to dry up. And I was having difficulty in work. And then his wife had a baby, so he had to take off time anyway. And I was a little bit worried. What's going to be with Parnassi as a family, as kids? He says, recently you've been talking in your Joshua's on Friday night. He says to me about the importance of being Mishazik in Limoteira and how that can bring Siyata Dishmaya. So he said, following one of these Joshua's, I decided there and then, I'm joining the night seder. We have a night seder in our shul. I'm joining the night seder, an hour and a half of learning. He said, I came once to the night seder. He says, the next morning, somebody called me up. He's got a whole job for me, a huge job, 3 months of parnasa. The next morning, I had somebody with me on Friday night. I'm telling you, it's all in the space of a week. Just last Friday night. And he tells me that he's a doctor, he's originally from America, he's been working in this country for a while, and hasn't really worked so well for him. Just about made ends meet. But he says to me, about 2 months ago, he made a solid commitment to have an hour and a half of learning every morning. This is more than he was learning apparently at the time. And indeed, we have a program there in Gimel. He comes every single day, an hour and a half. He says, in the last 2 months, my profits have gone through the roof. The final story is, I learned with a young man in our kehillah also during the night, Seder. And he tells me, just last week on Wednesday, he says he switched jobs. And he now comes home an hour earlier than he used to. So I said to him, no, you have an extra hour in your day. Great gift. I wish I had an extra hour in my day. You've been zeicha to a tremendous matana. You have an hour to spare. L'chaira. Quarter of an hour. 25% you can dedicate to an extra kviyas in Limutaira. You're learning anyway. You have an extra hour. Quarter of an hour. I said to him, you won't lose anything from it. I guarantee you. You'll see Siyata Dishmaya. You won't lose anything from it. This was on Wednesday night. I didn't see him the next couple of days. He wasn't there for Shabbos. I met him again on Sunday. I said to him, no, he started his new kriyas. He said, I started it that day. He said, I must tell you, since I've started it in 3 days, I've already seen two missing in my family. Four stories in the space of 1 week. This is what we're learning tonight. The more one attaches oneself to Torah, then the whole ma'areches of Teva is worth nothing. That is the way to be misgaber over Teva and to be zeicha to Yeshuas. Four people in a week told me the common denominator, like I said, it's not really four stories, it's one story. One of them said to me, wow, it's unbelievable. Since I started learning more, I've seen all these Yeshuas, it's unbelievable. I said, no, it's believable. It's not unbelievable. This is the haftacha that we've always had. that one more one attaches oneself to Torah. One has 5 minutes, one increases it to six. One has 5 hours, one increases it to five and up. Each person according to his situation, obviously. But the more one is mishazik in Limud Torah, it's doduk umenusa. We live in an age where everybody is looking for all types of fancy schmancy schulos. Like we say on Simchas Torah, one of the famous songs that they sing, Ein skula katera. Ve'ein eiskel ke'yisrael. Ein skula katera. There is no more precious skula than the Torah itself. One doesn't need to look further than that. It's tried and it's tested. It's proved and it's worked. The more one is mishazikin limud Torah, this is the secret to our success. The more one detaches oneself, chas v'shalom, that's when we get into trouble. And that was the two halves of the story of the Purim Megillah. When they removed themselves from Torah, they found themselves in trouble. Kimu v'kiblu, they were makabel Torah once again, then they were zeichah to all types of nisim, even mitoicha hester. Even when there's galus, and it isn't necessarily gilui ponim, one wants to be exposed in one's own private way to gilui ponim, the trick is from mischazik in limud Torah. So we should be zeichah. We have a week to go to Purim, but this is the time of year to try and think, maybe I can add an extra minute, an extra 5 minutes, an extra clears before davening, after davening, whatever it is, guaranteed, money back guarantee will be zeicha be'ez Hashem to the Yeshuas and the Chomis, and we should be zeicha to see Nisim, just like them, in our age.